I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome into the lounge presented by DraftKings. The Ravens 2024 draft is in the books. I'm Ryan Mink here with Garrett Downing. We're going to break down the whole thing for you, give you our favorite picks, our biggest surprises, talk about each of these guys the Ravens are bringing in. So a lot to love from this draft class. Garrett, let's just start by running through the entire class. Why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
Yeah, in case you just need a little refresher here, Ravens kick things off in the first round with Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Clemson at pick number 30.
The cornerback.
Cornerback.
We need position name.
Yeah.
All right,
It's basically, you know, like when Roger Goodell comes out in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft, the Ravens select cornerback Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. All right, in the second round, they follow that up with a offensive tackle, Roger Rosengarten out of Washington, number 62. And then in the third round, they went pass rusher from Penn State. They've done this before. Mm-hmm. Familiar guy, Adisa Isaac, number 93. Again, pass rusher out of Penn State. On day three, they kick things off in the fourth round, pick number 113, Devontae Walker, a wide receiver from North Carolina. Then they followed it up, pick number 130 in the fourth round, TJ Tampa, a cornerback from Iowa State. In the fifth round, they took Rasheen Ali, a running back out of Marshall. In the sixth round, pick number 218, Devin Leary, a developmental quarterback from Kentucky. He also played at NC State earlier in his career. And then the final round, the seventh round, they took at number pick number 228, Nick Samak, a center slash guard out of Michigan State. And then pick number 250, Sanusi Kane out of Purdue. Nine picks. Safety.
You forgot his position.
Nine picks over the course of the weekend. No trades for Eric DaCosta.
That might be the biggest surprise.
Yeah, they sit there. They sat and picked at all nine spots. And they basically checked off every glaring need on the team when you look at all nine picks.
Yep.
And so that's who it is. That's your 2024 Ravens draft class.
Yeah, and I think like you said, the big takeaway was pretty much all the biggest draft needs for the Ravens and even the secondary draft needs were really crossed off and in order almost, right? Day one, cornerback and tackle was the biggest need coming in, but corner was a big one for sure. It was probably number two on the list. And so to get Nate Wiggins, that was a big one. And then you kind of had to get your tackle on day two if they were going to have a chance of really winning a starting job week one, let's say, or early in the season. The Ravens did that with Roger Rosengarten, right? You get your edge rusher, you get your wide receiver, you get your running back, which was kind of a secondary need. You get a safety, which was another secondary need. And then it was, all right, we had an extra couple extra picks. Not everybody had quarterback. There was certainly a possibility. We talked about that. I think I said that there's definitely, you know, we're not maybe talking about that enough as much as we should be, the prospect of them drafting a quarterback. And then really the one, they doubled up at cornerback. The one position that they didn't draft that was surprising was a guard. But like you said in introducing him, Nick Samak, the center out of Michigan State, they really view him as a center guard. They're going to give him snaps at guard. He has the size to do it. So, you know, for fans that are concerned, where is the guard or whatever, we're expecting three offensive linemen, sure, they could have done that. They feel like this is developmental guard that they took in the seventh round.
Yeah, I think that when I look at the draft as a whole, I think that the value was there at the positions of need, especially early on. Mm-hmm. Cornerback was a position of need, and Nate Wiggins was a top 20 player on the Ravens board. In the second round, Roger Rosengarten was the guy that they wanted. Like, they were hoping that he was going to be there at pick number 62. He was the target in that round. And a lot of the tackles went early. And so basically...
It was kind of a tackle run a little bit late. I mean, it came up on him.
No, but I'm saying a tackle run in the first round basically. Like,
the first wave
board was picked clean before the Ravens were on the clock in the first round. So then they weren't going tackle in the first round, but then they got a great corner. Then in the second round, there were some tackles that went in front of them. But for the most part, it was the tackles were picked, you know, but Rosengarten was the guy that they wanted going into day two, and they get him and they feel like he can come in. They're not promising anything, but they feel like there's a realistic chance he could come in and be an immediate starter for this team. And so I just felt like the value was there, especially on those first 2 days, to get the tackle in the second round, to get a situational pass rusher who adds depth at the edge, and to get a cornerback who has starting potential, if not this year, then, you know, certainly next year is going to play a really big role in Nate Wiggins in the first round. It just felt like the board matched their needs, and that's something that Eric DaCosta talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I thought day three, just looking at big picture, really good value picks at the top of that round. Mm-hmm. Really good value picks. I mean, you talk about Devontae Walker. I mean, this is a guy that could have been a third round pick, right? And he had a shortened season because of the NCAA eligibility problems, where he got a late start this season. But you look at this guy talent wise, he could have absolutely been a much earlier pick. He's got that kind of big. I mean, Adonai Mitchell was a guy I projected to the Ravens in the first round, whose size speed combo, big play threat. Tez Walker is kind of in that mold. And the Ravens got him with their first pick in the fourth round, right? Eric DaCosta, and then to follow up with TJ Tampa, a player that was widely mocked as a second round pick. ESPN had him as the top player entering day three, tippy top of their list, and the Ravens got him near the end of the fourth round. Mm-hmm. So I think those were, as Eric DaCosta said after day two, it was an open highway. They had crossed off the major needs already with their top three picks. They could kind of go hard value, and that's what they did. Wide receiver was still a need, and they still got value with Devontae Walker. Cornerback, by the time you'd taken Nate Wiggins, was not as much of a need. But when you have TJ Tampa there, who Eric DaCosta said, we would have felt comfortable taking him in the second round.
On
the second day.
Yeah.
He was mocked in the second round widely.
Yeah.
When he's sitting there near the end of the fourth round, you're just like, we can't pass up on this guy.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the Ravens, and honestly, they've doubled up at positions, that second guy has been really good, and they've had success. Like Mark Andrews as an example, back in 2018, they ended up taking him with the second player in that group of tight ends, and he ends up being a great player, as an example.
And then it felt like, to me, the rest of day three felt like just guys that they like, right? These were like their players that the scouts, the coaches, they're high on their board, right? Certainly in the seventh round, you're picking, hey, you know, some of these guys, it wasn't necessarily Geno Stone, for example. When the Ravens picked Geno Stone in 2020 in the seventh round, everybody was saying, how was that guy there? And we expected him to be a fifth round pick with all the picks that he made and all that stuff. It wasn't the case for the Ravens. Like their picks were, Sanusi Kane was not somebody that was projected to go in the fifth round, but he was somebody that Ravens scouts and coaches just really liked.
Yeah.
Right. They took their favorites. Nick Samak.
I mean, you mentioned Geno Stone, like John Harbaugh brought him up in terms of a similar pick, seventh round pick, Big Ten guy, different type of player and also college production, but like that's on their mind when you make that pick.
Totally. Devin Leary was just a favorite of T. Martin's. He had the project of taking a quarterback. That was his guy. So like, to me, Rasheen Ali, was like a guy who's coming off an injury, but they really liked him. He was just a favorite of theirs. So it wasn't as much the whole, oh man, this guy's a huge steal, this is a huge value, but players that they really, coaches and scouts, really liked and had high on their board.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest takeaway for me is in for like the sixth year running, you went 0-for in your mock draft. Nobody.
Not quite 6 years.
Seven? Eight? Another 0-for. Another goose egg from you. You just continue to put up goose eggs in your mock draft.
The worst part of the draft was when Rasheen Ali's name was called and you hit one pick in this thing. Oh, I love the player. Love the pick. Hate that you made the pick.
Yeah, I told you when we did the mock draft that I really liked him. And honestly,
no, the funny thing was you were like, that was the pick you were least confident in. No. You liked my running back, Isaac Guarnado.
Yeah.
You liked my pick way better. My guy got taken one pick before TJ Tampa. Ravens probably would have taken him. But he got picked one pick before.
They definitely wouldn't have taken him. As I mentioned, they would have taken TJ Tampa the day before.
That's correct.
They weren't going to do that.
That's actually correct.
And I really did like Ali. And honestly, when I read all the write-ups on him, he fit everything that the Ravens historically have talked about. And they did in this press conference. I previewed the press conference on the 7-round mock draft when this was a guy that went out there and balled out of the Senior Bowl. Everybody liked him there. Then he went down with an injury. And so you get him at value there when the Ravens ended up taking him because he had a bicep injury, but still really good player, explosive at the Senior Bowl. Ton of production.
The guy had a monster freshman season.
He did, but he had twice in his career at Marshall, he went over 1,000 yards, and he ends up finishing his college career at Marshall over 3,500 yards, 43 touchdowns. So the Ravens get a player who I think could be a really intriguing option in this backfield. When who the main ball carrier is.
Stop bragging about your guy, and let's go back and review some of these picks. All right, because we did a day one. I gave you your time to brag about hitting Rashid Ali.
I would want to change the subject too if I were you.
It's time to move on.
I would change the subject too if I went over.
All right, so let's go back to day two. We gave you our analysis of the Nate Wiggins pick. The Ravens come back, and like I said, they had to get a tackle, right? And like you pointed out, their guy came to him in Roger Rosengarten, and there were some, you know, it took a while for the tackles to start coming off the board. We saw Patrick Paul went to the Miami Dolphins, you know, kind of midway through the second. And then a player that we both thought, oh, that would have been a good pick, Blake Fisher, the right tackle out of Notre Dame, went a couple picks before the Ravens were on the clock. And we're sitting there saying, oh, man, like that could have been the dude. Here's an experienced right tackle. Turns out, nah. Roger Rosengarten was the guy. And I think they started sweating when they saw Blake Fisher go, and teams were calling up trying to get these tackles. And the Ravens said, nah, we have our guy in Roger Rosengarten. We're going to stick and pick. The thing about Roger Rosengarten that, you know, he is a leaner guy. He's just a lighter guy. I mean, he played at like 305, 310 last year. What makes him such a great fit for the Ravens is, even with being lean, his mobility, I think, is a really good fit in what Todd Monken wants to do. When you see those wide receiver screens out there, you know, when you see the running back screens, all that stuff thrown out of the backfield, this guy's, Roger Rosengarten's ability to get out, pull, move out in space, and open up lanes for that, not only just in the screen game, but in the run game and all that stuff. His mobility, I think, it really helps take this offense to another level at right tackle, because Daniel Faalele, he's a big, powerful man. That's not his game.
Yeah, a couple of things of note on Roger Rosengarten. He played right tackle at Washington, but that was the blindside protector for Michael Penix, who's a left-handed quarterback. And he is a really athletic player, as you mentioned, as he's blocking that blindside. Didn't give up a sack. Over 1,100 pass blocking snaps.
Yeah.
Zero sacks. Exactly. Okay, so that's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah.
And John Harbaugh made the point, yes, he can come in and certainly compete right away to be the starter at right tackle. Also, he can be in the mix at left tackle, you know, over the course of his career. He could play both spots. Roger said when we talked to him, you know, he was a left tackle throughout his career, ended up playing right tackle at Washington. And you look at Washington, they had a ton of guys drafted.
He started at left tackle at Washington.
Yeah.
And then once Penix took over, they said, nah, we're going to put you back on the blind side.
Well, Troy Fontanu, who was a top 20 pick, ended up going to the Steelers.
Yep.
He was a guy throughout this draft process, everybody raved about him. Obviously, he's a first round pick. But he was not blocking the quarterback's blindside.
He was the right tackle in air quotes.
Yeah, for a left-handed quarterback. So I think that says something about Roger Rosengarten. And look, I think that, you know, I think he will be a starter. Probably week one for one of the spots on this offensive line. Most likely right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right tackle. He's competing with Daniel Faalele for the right tackle job.
Yeah.
Whether he wins it out of training camp, I think it's too early to say. I haven't seen the guy on the field, on an NFL field yet. I think he's got a chance. I think he's got a real, I think he has a real chance to win that job week one, if not early this season. I expect that he'll be starting games for the Ravens at right tackle by the end of the year. That's what I expect. And if I'm wrong, if Daniel Faalele goes out there and he has a great summer, that's good too. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Right. But I think Rosengarten certainly has the talent to do that. To me, when you started looking at the second round offensive tackles, you know, like a Patrick Paul, like a Kingsley Suamatia, who ended up going to the Chiefs the very next pick.
We have to break down that situation too. As you're done, I want to go through that situation.
Right. So he goes the next pick. When you're looking at those guys, they were really kind of more, they're more projects, right? They have, Paul is massive. He's like 6'8", right? He's just a huge guy.
But
right?
Really raw.
With a lot of experience, but he had some holes in his game, particularly as a run blocker. Mm-hmm. Kingsley Suamatia, you know, just a very athletic guy, right? You like the tenacity. You like his athleticism. He's thickly built, lower built guy. Not as tall, but like technique issues. Like there were just a lot of things that he was going to need to clean up. Timing issues, all that kind of stuff. Like there's a lot that he's going to need to clean up at the NFL level. And that's why Daniel Jeremiah had him as like his 120 some best prospect. Yeah. Like way back there, right? Roger Rosengarten was seen and is seen, I think, as more of a, he's ready to play now. Mm-hmm. This is a more of a polished guy who still has top-notch athleticism in terms of his mobility, his movement. He ran the fastest 40 at the combine of any offensive lineman. This guy can move. Now, he's not going to be running 40 yards, but you see it on tape. He's explosive out of his stance. He can really move around, cut off blocker or cut off defensive lineman. Like this guy is impressive on his feet. And sure, like he's lighter, but he didn't give up any sacks. So I don't see him getting blown up in college, just getting pushed back into the cornerback, giving up sacks. It didn't happen in college. Maybe it doesn't always look so pretty, but he's able to anchor, right? And I don't care what weight you're at. If you're able to anchor and keep him off the quarterback, good enough for me. And he brings plus mobility.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be obviously a big step up when he's got TJ Watt on the other side of him, Miles Garrett. And so that'll be the test. You know, that's the test for him as a young player. You know, you bring up the tackle run there and Kingsley Suamatia, who goes one pick later to the Chiefs.
They traded up to get him.
And the most important point on that is that you had him going to the Ravens in the second round in your mock and you missed again. So,
that was kind of the theme. Like I was kind of like, I had my final mock was Kool-Aid, right? I had like the right position at about the right spot with the wrong guy. So I mean, that's just as bad as it gets, right?
They were
just
your guy's
like,
there.
We see Mink's guy, but nah, we don't like him. We like this dude.
Yeah.
So like the framework was right, but this poor scouting job by me.
Poor scouting job.
What do you want me to say? I mean, how many times do you want to gloat?
I'm going to get the digs in as many times as possible over the course of this pod. But so the other thing that was interesting is, you know, Eric DaCosta was asked on Friday night, the TV camera showed inside the draft room and him and Steve Bisciotti were having a conversation after the Roger Rosengarten pick. And it was like, what was that conversation about? Was what Jeff Srebeck asked him. And he basically said they were talking about the trade possibility that was going on while the Ravens were on the clock. And they had a team, he didn't exactly say, but it basically laid out a team called up to potentially trade up to the Ravens spot. They ended up not doing the trade. Then that team traded up. The Chiefs traded one spot behind the Ravens and it ended up taking Kingsley Suamatia, but the Ravens believe had the Chiefs ended up making that trade with the Ravens that they could have taken Roger Rosengarten. They could have basically done the pick swap with the Chiefs and then lost out on their guy. And then the Chiefs got their guy.
Right. I mean, teams were looking to come up and the Ravens were just like, nah, we're going to stick and pick and take our guy.
Yeah. And then it's just interesting that the Chiefs end up getting a player at the same position one pick later.
Yeah. Who was widely talked about as a possibility for the Ravens. Cole duped me. I blame Cole for me taking Kingsley.
Yeah. You're
over Roger Rosengarten.
You're looking for any
Cole,
lifeline.
You're taking the fall on this one, buddy.
You're looking for any lifeline after those misses.
But yeah, I really like this Roger Rosengarten pick. Like the more I watch of him, the better I feel about it. honestly. Like, when you see how light he is at first, you're like, this guy doesn't really feel like the big Ravens tackle. He ain't Orlando Brown over there, right? Like, but I think the key element that I mentioned is the fit in Todd Monken's system and what he wants to do. I want to see Roger Rosengarten out there just hauling butt, paving way for Zay Flowers behind him. Like, Zay Flowers on wide receiver screens and some of that underneath stuff, get the ball in his hands in space. That's what Todd Monken wants to do. You got to have the blockers in front, right? You get the blockers in front and Zay Flowers the ball in space, watch out.
Yeah.
Because more of those are going to break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I think that the offensive line was the biggest need coming into this weekend, as we know. And by getting Rosengarten there, you have the ability to potentially get a plug-and-play guy. Yeah. So then in the third round, it's Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. And the way I look at this, you know, again, you have a guy who's a first-round pick at his school, at his position. You know, it was Troy Fontanu to Roger Rosengarten.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then at Penn State, it's Adisa Isaac who goes in the third round, and it was Chop Robinson who's a first round pick.
Yeah.
Same position, but Adisa Isaac was more productive at Penn State from a stats standpoint than Chop Robinson.
He had more sacks.
So the guy got, the Ravens got the more productive guy two rounds later. Now, I know that that's not the entire equation there, but I do find that interesting.
Well, a lot of it is athleticism, right? What do you put up at the combine? And look, the Ravens took some athletes. I mean, Nate Wiggins can run, right? Roger Rosengarten, like I said, he can move, right? Devontae Walker can move, right? But this was a case where Adisa Isaac, A, on tape, you see the explosion, you see the power, you see the get off, right? You see the athleticism there, but he didn't test. He didn't put up the testing numbers nearly like Chop Robinson's, right? And that is part of the reason why he goes two rounds after him, right? Is because of those testing numbers. Mm-hmm. And that's not the only reason, but that's part of the reason why he was there in the third round for the Ravens. What's interesting is, I mean, there's a bunch of interesting things about this pick. A, he's reuniting with Odafe Owe.
Yeah.
But B, you know, part of the reason why people were like, I don't really know about the Ravens taking Chop Robinson in the first round because they took the freak athlete in Odafe Owe. And while Odafe's trajectory is heading up, like that pick thus far, he hasn't had like first round production thus far. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Odafe is going to be a great player this year and all that. But people are like, are they going to take another Odafe? This guy that didn't have a lot of college production, but he's a freak athlete, right? Well, they still took the Penn State guy, but this time they took the guy with the more production, you know?
Yeah.
So
was really tight with Odafe Owe, which
was really tight.
Actually, he said that Odafe Owe was his host.
He hosted him on his college visit.
Yeah, so like they were good buddies in college, and I think he was clearly excited to be teaming up with his friend.
Odafe Owe is in a pretty good spot right now. He's got his college teammate and his high school teammate and good friend in David Ajabo.
Yep.
So I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that outside linebacker room, like it feels like just
it's a reunion.
It's a reunion tour.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So I really like Adisa Isaac. I just think they needed another guy with juice off the edge, right? They had to after losing Clowney. They brought back Kyle Van Noy, which is important, a good pass rusher and a versatile guy who can drop and do all that stuff, Sam linebacker stuff. But they just needed some more juice off the edge. That's what they needed. And this guy, he's got the juice. You know, I think that as he develops in his pro career and he adds, you know, more muscle and fills out and all that stuff, like he can anchor against the run. Like, you're not going to put him in there and run down and say, you're going to anchor that edge and really stand up against it. That's not really his game. He's got heavy hands. He can play the run, right? It's not like he's just this light, rail thin, pass, pin your ears back, put him in on third down guy. He's not that. But I think his forte right now is getting after that passer, being physical, roughing up tight ends, all that stuff. And his rookie year, I see him kind of filling that. You know, it's a different body type, but Zadarius, Matthew Judon, some of these guys that came in had some instant production as a rookie in terms of sack production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that he'll be a guy that comes in there and can come up with some sacks and some nice moments.
Exactly. Yeah, five some sacks as a rookie year, continue to develop. That'd be a good rookie year for Adisa Isaac and a great kid. I mean, yeah. The backstory, if you haven't gone back and watched it yet, we posted a story about him and his family. He has two siblings that are nonverbal who have been a big inspiration to him in his life. Like, yep. This guy is not only from physical production, all that. He checks all those boxes, but a Red Star character guy.
He actually was not just, you know, like he literally was Patrick McDonough, one of the scouts. He was Patrick McDonough's Red Star guy. Yep. And just to explain what the Red Star guy is, basically a scout can select one guy every year that is like your guy. You're putting your stamp of approval on this player, the person, the intangibles, everything that you hear about him. Like you are putting your flag there saying like, I believe that this player is going to be a really good player. Mm-hmm. And he has what it takes to be a Raven. And that was one of the players the Ravens took, and Adisa Isaac.
Yep.
So, all right, on day three, let's go to Devontae Walker, wide receiver. I mean, this is a speed receiver. He runs in the 4.3s. He's got blazing speed, and he can go and get the football. And
well, and he's also big.
He is. He's 6'1". Yeah. And so, like, he has good size. I mean, the comps on him, which both Ravens fans will like hearing this, Eric DaCosta said he reminds me of Torrey Smith. He actually... Devontae Walker ran a faster time even than Torrey Smith coming out of the combine. Like, guys run 4.3s now, and it just doesn't even seem fast because we're talking about Nate Wiggins running a 4.28.
Right, exactly.
But like, a 4.38, you know, is like a blazing fast time. So Devontae Walker has that.
Torrey ran like a 4.4s.
Yeah, exactly. 4.4s these days, it's like, ah.
Yeah. Hey, man, were you dragging something?
Exactly. Take the weights off. Devontae Walker, he's got that great speed. He has good size. So Eric said he kind of reminds him of Torrey Smith. Another comp that I saw in one of the write-ups was Mike Wallace, who came here, obviously, after an explosive career at
Pittsburgh. If he's either of those guys, it'd be a good pick.
That would be a monster. That would be a best-case scenario if you turn into either of those guys.
Yeah. I really like Devontae Walker. The Ravens passing offense, the next step that it needs to take this offseason and into the 2024 season is hitting more consistently some of those deep plays. They just missed too many shots. That's what it is, mm-hmm. right? And part of that's on Lamar and you know, dialing it in and getting a little bit more accurate with those deep shots, getting really good feel with his wide receivers and the chemistry and just coming through in those moments. Another part of it is having the weapons. Right. And Devontae Walker is that weapon for the Ravens. He can take the top off of defense. Lamar Jackson's going to have a hard time overthrowing this guy with the way he can run and not just run, but go up and make plays, make contested catches down the field. You know, Ravens fans have been clamoring for the big bodied contested catch speed guy. This is kind of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he ain't the big slow guy that is a jump ball guy, but like he'll burn you and he'll still go up and make a play.
To your point, like if you want like kind of the prototypical size speed combination,
yep.
Devontae Walker is that.
Yep. And I mean, another guy, you know, he's on the leaner side, you know, he'll fill out. I think part of the knock on him, the questions is, you know, the route tree, you know, in North Carolina, it was linear routes. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's basically what coaches want me to do. They're like, you're the big fast guy, go deep. Yeah. Right. And so like, it was a limited route tree. He feels like he has a wider repertoire than people have really seen. And I think that he has kind of the, you know, he'll show he has the quickness to do that. And with the Ravens coaching, of course, that'll be a way that he'll develop. But you know what? If his trick, I mean, he ain't going to be a one trick pony, but I'll tell you the trick going deep and scoring touchdowns deep, that's a good trick.
Yeah.
And so I'll take that. I mean, the Ravens, the slot fade was really kind of a popular Todd Monken route this year. You line them up in the slot, you get that free release, and you run that fade to the sideline deep. And they hit it sometimes, and they miss it sometimes. This guy, Nelson Agholor, was running a fair amount of those. Devontae Walker is going to be called on in those moments to run that route, and I think the Ravens are going to hit on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a really interesting, intriguing pick. I like it. He also, from a character standpoint, the Ravens liked, you know, his personality. He kind of had to battle the NCAA. Not kind of. He did have to battle the NCAA. They basically ruled him ineligible, wouldn't allow him to play because it was a second transfer, and ultimately was granted the ability to play. But that was a battle for him. And the Ravens, David Blackburn talked about how, you know, they like when you've overcome something, and he has done that in his career. So, you know, a theme, and I recognize that we all fall guilty to this sometimes when you get a chance to talk to some of these players right after they're drafted, but I really like the players that we got a chance to talk to. Devontae Walker seemed really mature. you know, you could say the same thing about, you know, Roger Rosengarten and Adisa Isaac too.
When we got, really? Yeah.
But so like, I recognize, like, you talk to the guy and all, so you do the interview and now you're feeling great
friend
about
it. Friend of the lounge. They're like, all friends of the lounge.
Okay.
So automatically.
Feel, but Devontae Walker just seemed like a guy who, you know, had the right mindset. If you haven't done so yet, go check out the draft call that we put out with him. Clearly an emotional moment for him. Yeah. You know, he was crying and it was an emotional moment. And so we've got that posted, but I think that you see that it means something to him. This is a guy that, like, he loves football and had to go through a lot just to be able to play last year.
Yep.
And the Ravens are excited to get him.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to the Ravens' second, fourth round pick, TJ Tampa, the cornerback out of Iowa State. This was just a case of too good to pass up.
Yeah.
The Ravens, after taking Nate Wiggins, like Eric DaCosta said, he was looking on day two and was like, yeah, I'd take TJ Tampa here, but I just took Nate Wiggins. So mm-hmm. I'm just not going to do it, right? You have bigger needs. But when you get there to the late fourth round and TJ Tampa's still on the board, you say, you know what? We're doubling down, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you said, the Ravens have done it a bunch of times at tight end and it's worked out. They've done it at other positions as well along the offensive line and other spots.
Linebacker.
Wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, so it's worked out best at tight end. And now the Ravens are looking to have it work out at cornerback. And so TJ Tampa is, you know, he's a different corner than Nate Wiggins. This is a bigger guy, bigger, plays with physicality. When we asked him what really stands out about your game to yourself, what's your strength? And he said, strength, you know, physicality, beating people up. Like, I can't wait to go learn from Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah.
You know, seeing the way he can lock down guys, come up in press coverage and lock down people. And the reason that TJ Tampa was still there, we talk about what a great value pick and how he was there so late. It's because the 40 yard dash time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're running, I think it was in the 4.5.
Yeah.
You know, that is going to flag you on some teams. They're just going to say, you know, that's too much for us. But you turn on the tape and he didn't have problems matching up with wide receivers in college.
Yeah, that's what hurt him at the combine. Little interesting note, his roommate at the combine, Nate Wiggins. Yeah. Which is kind of a funny note. Yep. And I also like this, what I heard from him. He said, you know, I've been at the bottom of the depth chart before and I've worked my way up and I plan to do the same thing. And so I like the confidence. I like the player. I think that he'll fit really well. You know, once you start getting now, this is the case for the rest of the guys that we're going to mention here. But when you get into day three and you're talking fourth round picks and later, you know, I don't know how much of an immediate contributor he is, but I think that he can contribute on special teams. And I also think that he will be somebody that provides depth at a really important position.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he'll compete. You know, the Ravens took a couple fourth round corners here a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's going
to, that would be Jalen Armour-Davis and Pepe Williams.
Exactly. He's going to compete with those guys. And it's, you know, Jalen Armour-Davis and Pepe Williams haven't seen a lot of playing time in the NFL in games. Right. So TJ Tampa doesn't start that far behind.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be, all of a sudden, the Ravens have a lot of depth at corner. You feel really good about this and a young pool, and it's going to be a great competition this summer.
So then the next pick is the running back, Rasheen Ali. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I took him on my mock.
Oh, my God. You're insufferable.
But again,
blind squirrel finds one nut in this draft, and he's just making the most out of that nut.
So, I mean, in all honesty, though, like I covered him in the recap. You know, I just think that, like, highly productive player. Eric DaCosta talked about how explosive he is. He kept using that word explosive, explosive, explosive. Like, this guy has home run potential, had a ton of big plays. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I just think that he'll be a good piece to have in there along with Derrick Henry and Justice Hill.
I mean, the guy's 2021 season was ridiculous. I just have to say the numbers. I mean, he rushed for 1,401 yards, 23 rushing touchdowns, right? He caught 46 passes for 342 yards and another score. He put up over 1,700 yards.
He's a stud.
And 24 touchdowns.
He's a stud. What can I tell you?
I mean, that's crazy. Now, the interesting thing about him, so then he comes back the following year. It's like, wow, what's he going to do for the encore? Mm-hmm. And he suffered a knee injury, you know, in practice just before the season. He actually stepped away from football. He kind of took a leave of absence. Mm-hmm. And then suffered the injury, which knocked him out for a good portion of that 2022 season. Came back and didn't have, you know, he had a good 2023, ran for over 1,100 yards. That's good.
Ho-hum.
You know, 15 touchdowns. It wasn't as big as his 2021 year, but still averaged 5.4 yards per carry. Like, still a really good year. This is a guy who got a late start to football. He was a boxer mm-hmm. in his youth days. His yeah. dad owned a boxing gym, and so he had his son in there boxing. And football just really kind of was in and out, you know, wasn't really his bag. And then he picked it up later in high school and just went gangbusters, started getting college offers, and then got to college and went nuts. And it was like, all right, I guess I'm an NFL running back. I'm yeah. good enough. And so kind of a late bloomer, who has a ton of athleticism and explosion and all that stuff that can come in here. And again, at the outstart of the season, you know, the Ravens have Derrick Henry and Justice Hill. Those are 1 and 2. They're still waiting for Keaton Mitchell to come back from his knee injury. We don't know when that'll be. I would be surprised if he's ready to go at the start of the season. I don't know.
It was a serious injury, and it happened in December.
Exactly. It was a late injury. So I think that right now, Rasheen Ali has a pretty good track at the number three running back spot. And then once Keaton Mitchell comes back, all right, it's an embarrassment of riches of dudes who are explosive and can run.
Yep.
And it gives a little bit longer of a runway, you know, for him to come back from last year's injury and just get 100%. You're not trying to rush Keaton Mitchell back to the field. You have Rasheen Ali.
Yeah, well, they actually had Rasheen Ali in for a visit, and they don't always do that for guys that you're talking about as fifth round picks. But they wanted to do their homework on him and talk to him. And Eric DaCosta said that visit was really well, felt like Rasheen was a really interesting guy. And mm-hmm. so, you know, they got a, you know, great vibe from him when they had that conversation and that visit. So certainly that played a part in
since
him.
He's your guy, I think you two should box. You should just box.
Is that what best friends do?
That's what best friends do.
He's also an Ohio guy too, from Cleveland. So
we took too many Ohio guys in here. That's the other part I don't like about this draft class.
All right. So the next one is Devin Leary, quarterback out of Kentucky. Started his career at NC State. He was in college for 6 years. So this is a guy, you know,
Plenty of experience.
The Ravens view him as a developmental quarterback. Josh Johnson is going to be the number two quarterback.
Yep.
They've got Malik Cunningham on the roster, who could be a quarterback or a wide receiver. You know, I think that, you know,
the Ravens pre-draft press conference really left the door open for that. That yeah. was kind of a aha moment. It was like, oh, okay, Malik Cunningham doesn't have the lock on the number three quarterback position.
Correct. And so they get Devin Leary here. I think that he's going to come in and basically compete with Malik Cunningham for that number three spot, depending on what the Ravens end up doing with Malik. And he's got a big arm. You know, when we asked him, like, what's your greatest asset? He's basically arm talent. Like, I got a yeah. big arm.
I'm a pure thrower.
He's got like, a great arm.
I mean, I liked it. Like, he really nice kid and modest and all that. But when you talk about his arm, he just said, there ain't many people in the world that can spin it like I can.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so he had the third fastest fastball, basically, at the combine. There, Joe Milton has a big arm too, but third fastest. I mean, this dude, yeah, he can sling it, right? And he's got a little mobility. He's not a runner, but he can make plays off schedule, which Todd Monken, that's an important component for him. You know, I mean, he had some big time stats in college too. I mean, this is a player who threw for more touchdowns than Phillip Rivers did one season, mm-hmm. right? And that's pretty good at NC State.
Yeah, that was the 2021 season. A couple guys here, yeah, Rasheen Ali and Devin Leary both had big 2021 seasons.
Exactly. So that year he threw for 3,400 yards and 35 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. I mean, coming out of that season with NC State, you're probably looking at like, this guy, how early is he going to go in the draft? Mm-hmm. I mean, with those numbers, you don't last till day three with those numbers.
Yeah.
Right. Comes back at NC State the following year and had an injury that really kind of short circuited that season.
Yep.
And ends up saying, all right, well, coming off an injury plague season, I'm going to transfer, get my one final year of eligibility, and went to Kentucky, where he really got married with a pro system. Liam Cohen, who's now the offensive coordinator with the Tampa Bay Bucks, was his coach
yeah.
at Kentucky. And he has a pro style system. So it was really kind of a, you know, that was a step to better himself and make himself a more well-rounded and NFL-ready quarterback. So even though he didn't put up great numbers last year, Kentucky didn't win a lot of games. He threw for 2,700 yards and went 25 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. So the numbers weren't as good as when he was at NC State. And you're saying, well, did he take a step back? What's the deal with that last year? It was a all-new system, mm-hmm. very, very different from NC State, very challenging system, pro style. And you know, I think now that was good for him to get that experience. And with his age, he's just an experienced guy who comes to the NFL and they can continue to develop to be what they hope to be, a solid backup quarterback to Lamar Jackson long term, because Josh Dobbs is 37 years old. He's on a 1-year deal.
Yeah, that's what this is. Basically, this is a move to potentially be a backup quarterback for Lamar Jackson in future seasons.
2025 and the following, those 3 years.
Basically. Get him here on campus, develop him. The other part that is worth mentioning is that T. Martin basically had a project. Take a look at the backup quarterbacks. Who do you like? Who do you like on day three? And this was the guy that he came back with. One of the guys that he came back with is very high on his list. And so, you know, they took that into account. And again, you have a chance to develop him, see how that progresses. Yeah. I think he'll be, honestly, I think he'll be competing for a roster spot once we cut, you know, yeah, we're doing the
decision would be whether they keep three quarterbacks on the 53 man roster. We'll be having that conversation.
Yeah.
Whether it's like, man, this guy's been so good in the preseason and practices that you just can't take a risk on cutting them and having somebody else claim them.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll all be part of the conversation, but a developmental guy who the Ravens are excited to get. All right. Then they followed up with the center out of Michigan State, center guard, Nick Samak. I mean, DaCosta described him basically as a gritty Big Ten offensive lineman.
Yeah, like, he's got good size. He's 6'4", really good mobility. I mean, this is a player. This is their diamond in the rough, I think. I really do. I think that he's a player. He suffered a broken leg his last year. Pretty major injuries, mm-hmm. dealt with a lot of adversity. Had a lot of coaching turnover at Michigan State. That was one thing. He had, on top of the broken leg, he had another injury that I can't remember off the top of my head that really set him back. So he's faced a lot of adversity in his career. But when this guy's been on the field, you know, you turn on the tape and he looks like a center that should have gone way earlier, mm-hmm. like way earlier. And so the talent is there. Really tough, gritty guy with good size, 6'4", 307 pounds, who, you know, is a really smart, good center, but also with that size, you can give him snaps at guard. And I talked to Nick. He said, yeah, more than happy to play whatever position. You're a seventh round pick. You're just want to be on the team.
Yeah.
You want to make the team. But I like this pick. I think for a seventh rounder, it's all, you know, you don't know, right? It's not a sure bet, but like, he's got the intangibles and he's got the size and he's got the makeup that I think he could stick and compete with some of these other late round guards that the Ravens took last year. And they need a backup for Tyler Linderbaum.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, last year they signed the veteran from Chicago.
Sam Mustipher. Yeah.
Sam Mustipher. Exactly. So they had to spend money to bring in a veteran backup center. If Nick Samak has a nice summer, Samak, then he can be that guy. You don't have to go out and sign a veteran.
Yeah. I mean, Tyler Linderbaum's obviously going to be the starting center here for a long time. He can back that up, but I do think the guard potential is, to me, this a comp here from a pick standpoint is Bradley Bozeman.
Right.
Bradley Bozeman was a starting center at Alabama. They drafted him in the sixth round. He was a big center, yep. and he ended up starting at guard before moving back to center. Then he obviously has moved on. He got a decent contract, you know, with Carolina.
He's become a pretty good player. Center in this
great,
league.
That was a great sixth round pick. And so I think that, like, you know, that's the high bar, but I think that, like, there's a lot of similarities there for me.
Look, you need depth in the NFL, right? And Devin Leary and Nick Samak are depth, and Sanusi Kane are depth picks. That's what you get when you're picking in the late sixth and late seventh rounds.
Yeah, I mean, that's right? That's where the seventh,
exactly. seventh round's you're, for. You're looking for depth, and like, yeah, did they... I mean, I know that some fans are like, why are we taking a quarterback? We have other... why not take a guard, mm-hmm. right? Well, like, you need backups, right? And as a sixth round guard that you pick, you're going to just plug and play him week one? No, that guy would have been a depth guy competing too, right? Yep. Like, quarterback was not the position of need that you need to take, certainly in this draft, but you need backups.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, that's what the Ravens did. And guys that not only are going to be backups in 2024, but you hope, hey, maybe this guy can develop into a high-level backup in the case of Devin Leary, or... in Nick Samak's case, hey, maybe this guy can compete for a starting job. Maybe he can win a starting job down the line.
Yeah. And then the Ravens rounded out. The final pick was Sanusi Kane, a safety out of Purdue. Did not get an invite to the combine, and the Ravens typically don't end up taking guys who aren't combine guys. And so, but they liked him. They liked him. They felt like, you know, what he brings to the table could be somebody who, again, I think that I basically view this, he's a special teamer. He's a potential depth safety. I think they could certainly still add to that position. Like, I think that they probably will still add. I think a veteran safety could be somebody who they add.
Well, here's the thing with Sanusi Kane, okay? They saw my 7-round mock, and I have a guy, Malik Mustafa, out of Wake Forest, right? And so, really good tackler, really good downhill, physical guy. They didn't get my guy. They wanted him. They wanted him real bad. They loved my pick.
If I went 0-9, I wouldn't be bringing up anything about my mock.
I stamped them. They wanted him bad.
Okay.
But they just, the value, there's other guys that the value was too good. So they couldn't. They got swiped. And he got swiped by somebody else. Uh-huh. I think the Chiefs.
Okay.
Somebody, yeah. Anyway, they took Sanusi Kane. He's like that version. He's like aggressive, downhill, run defender, closes well, good tackler, you know, even similar colors, even black and gold, Purdue, Wake Forest.
Maybe this guy confused.
There's just too much there. We just got our guy, but a different guy, and we got him later.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Once again, in the ballpark, but you're still striking out.
Oh, I mean, it's not my first time striking out. I've done a lot of that over the course of my life.
So there it is. That's your full draft class. We're going to take a quick break and give you some quick thoughts on some of our favorite picks and biggest surprises of this class. You're listening to The Lounge Podcast. We're coming to you from the SeatGeek studio. We also want to give a shout out to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. They are an official sports betting partner of the Baltimore Ravens. They've got a limited time offer running right now that you don't want to miss. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use the promo code FLOCK. If you are a new user, you can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Again, the promo code is FLOCK, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You need to be 21 years or older to play and physically present in Maryland. All right, so your favorite pick, who was it?
I mean, you always want to tend towards the first round pick, right? But, I'll take a deeper dive. I'll make it a little more complicated here. I'm going to go with Adisa Isaac. I think the third round pass rusher out of Penn State. I really love what I see from film on him. I think productive, athletic, tough, rugged, great kid. I'm going to put my red star on Adisa Isaac and say, that's my favorite pick from this class.
All right. Well, look, the easy one for me is Rasheen Ali because I made that pick. That's the obvious one,
that.
Right? Yeah, I have
but
to say that.
But you're not going
to
say that.
I really do like that pick. For me, it's between him. But I think that, like, one of us needs to say Nate Wiggins here. Like, to be honest, like, I just feel like, like, I'm not going to, like, try to go too deep here. Like, Nate Wiggins is going to be a starting cornerback for this team this year or next year. And even if he's not a starting cornerback this year, he's going to play a really big role in this defense. He's going to be a great cover cornerback. He's going to bulk up. Mm-hmm. And he's just going to be somebody that I think is, like, the next great Ravens corner. That's really what my expectation is for this guy.
Vontaze Walker said that Nate Wiggins was the best corner that he faced.
Yep.
And Nate Wiggins probably has good things to say about Devontaze Walker because he's the only guy that caught a pass of 20 or more yards against him last year.
Yep.
The only guy.
Yep.
And, you know, those two, that'll be a really fun battle in training camp to see. You know, Devontaze Walker said, yeah, Nate Wiggins was like one of the very few guys that could run hip to hip with me. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be a really fun one to watch as well, as we already talked about Nate Wiggins versus Zay Flowers and fast feet and speed versus fast feet there. So some really interesting matchups to come. I was tempted to say Roger Rosengarten for my favorite pick. I think Roger Rosengarten is going to be a really good starter for this team for a long time.
Yeah, I think you could totally be right. I just think with Nate Wiggins, like, again, cornerback was a need, but it wasn't like the biggest need on the team. Yeah. But I think they got a really dynamic player who is on an absolute upward trajectory, who I think that, like, in 3 years, like, the conversation is going to be like, man, how did this guy go number 30? Like, why was he there at that spot?
He might be a star. I mean, this kid could be a star.
I think that potential
exists. And
you
got him at 30.
Yep.
Right. I mean, he's got all the physical ability to be a lockdown, shutdown corner. He can mirror anybody, run with anybody.
Yep.
And so I look forward to him as he gets his feet wet and matures and all that stuff, because I think also if he adds more bulk and all that stuff that we've already talked about, he has sky high potential, Nate Wiggins.
Yeah. So what was your biggest surprise?
I mean, the biggest surprise is probably not drafting a guard. Like a pure guard. They got the center slash guard. Yeah. They project to guard, but he didn't really play. He played some snaps in practice in like high school guard. Mm-hmm. He's not you don't have guard tape on him. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they, A, really only drafted two offensive linemen. I had him going for three. Daniel Jeremiah came on this very podcast and said, what was it? What was the wager this year?
There was no wager. He's like, I just think they're going to draft three offensive linemen.
We should have made him put his money where his mouth was. he predicted three offensive linemen. They only took two, and one of them, the second one, was the seventh round. You know, that's the other thing. Like, I thought, all right, you take one in the second. You're probably taking one early on day three also. Mm-hmm. They wait till the seventh. And I think, A, that tells you a little bit about how they feel about the in-house guards that are competing for those two starting spots.
I think that's the biggest thing it tells you.
They feel really good about Ben Cleveland and the season he had last year and the trajectory he's on. They think that Ben Cleveland is going to be the Ben Powers and the John Simpson of the past 2 years. You get finally get that, earn that starting job. And you take it and run with it and have a really good season in your last year, contract year, and maybe you get re-signed or you go elsewhere. That's, I think, what they envision for Ben Cleveland. And then they took a couple sixth and seventh round guards last year in Andrew Voorhees and Saleh, who they were really high on those guys as developmental picks. And they have, you know, Saleh a year under his belt in the on the practice field and really good, valuable reps in that way. And Voorhees would have been a much higher pick had he not suffered the ACL at the combine. So Voorhees, I think, has a very good chance of winning a starting job. And lastly, I'll say, I think that the Ravens will sign a veteran guard, maybe guard slash tackle, at some point this offseason. A lot of interior offensive linemen just came into the NFL, and that means some of these older, more expensive interior offensive linemen are going to be without an NFL team here in not too, too long. And I suspect that the Ravens and Eric DaCosta will take a good, hard look at those guys when they become available. Just to add more Voorhees and Cleveland and Saleh, they could still win the job, but I think that they will add more veteran competition to that guard position.
Yeah, only going with basically one true day one competition starter on the offensive line in the draft was surprising. So I would agree there. The other thing I would say was the biggest surprise was no trades in this draft. Eric DaCosta loves to maneuver around the board, but John Harbaugh made the point during the final press conference, like, the board fell in a way that we just loved the players so much that they were better than the possibility of a trade.
Yeah.
And the other part that's interesting is, like, the phone was ringing. Eric DaCosta said they had like eight offers to move back on the first night. The phone, David Blackburn said today, the phone was ringing a ton on day two. Mm-hmm. So like they had offers to make moves.
Teams wanting to come up for the Rosengarten pick.
Exactly. They had offers to make moves, but they just felt like, you know what? The players are too good to pass up there. Yep. And so I think that that gives you a big indication of how good they feel about this draft class.
Largely speaking, I think they feel really good about this draft class.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, really good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you kind of get a vibe.
Yeah.
You know, I get a very good vibe.
I think they're very confident
from this
about
this draft
group.
Class. And that speaks to, nah, we're not going to take the extra picks. Like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Like Eric DaCosta said, it was kind of a marriage of luck, you know, and of course all the hard work that goes into it. But like the really good players that they really liked at positions of need were there for them. They fell for them. And so that was really good. Lastly, just a quick, you know, anytime you take a quarterback, I think that's kind of all the, if you're saying that's the most surprising actual pick, not non-pick or whatever, I would probably say Devin Leary, just because, you know, he's going to be a number three quarterback this year. And it's a backup for his whole career in Baltimore, as far as we're concerned, right? Knock on wood.
Yeah.
You know, the guy never sees the field in a regular season game.
Right.
In a game. And so, that's probably the most surprising pick anytime you take a quarterback when you already have one.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was a good weekend. It was fun. It was busy. It was a lot of action. We also want listeners to know that we actually had a chance to sit down with Nate Wiggins when he was here for his visit after getting drafted in the first round. We sat down with him for an episode of the Lounge Podcast that is going to come out on Tuesday. You'll be able to watch that, listen to that, and check out what Nate had to say here. So rookies come in here for rookie minicamp next week, so there's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about. And as always, we appreciate you guys listening to the pod, so thank you so much. Hit that subscribe button and we will talk with you again soon.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.